Right now, I'm in Thailand, quarantined, it's a foreign scene. Can't go to the airport and leave, and I thought my old life was boring. Jeez, excuse me. I'm about to bang my forehead on the floor and scream. The dude I'm staying with's annoying. How much fucking torture can boredom be? Take my ass to the Morgan piece.
Look, bitch, it's 2020, I was preparing some new bombs and making sure that my competition gon' put a noose on. My aggression ain't really a subtle nuance. I've been in the game 10 years, how can I do wrong? Who's on one? I'm on a savage as usual. I'm back in the booth, I had rappers to poop on. Now there just ain't many brands I can move on. All because someone ate bat soup in Wuhan.
Well, shit.
It's 12:47 on Thursday, the 30th of April. We're going back to school in 4 days, and lockdown seems to be getting eased everywhere around the country. But today, we're going to come at you with a really cool and kind of controversial standpoint, and that's the snowflake generation. Now, I don't know about you, Eugene. I hate snowflakes. I hope that they melt where they stand. For those of you who don't understand exactly what a snowflake is someone that's just like overly sensitive. It's a lot more common in society these days, like people that need their safe spaces and people that like feel strongly about social issues that they have nothing to do with in the first place. So that's basically what snowflakes are. I don't like them. Eugene, I'm pretty sure you don't like them either, because we tend to argue about this and like kind of just roast them all the time. So so we're going to be talking about being successful in society. And by being successful, we mean in terms of money. Now, making money and that sort of thing in society. I'm going to come and tell you why snowflakes have no business ever being in business and why it's very likely that they, well, unlikely for them to ever be successful in terms of money and being like your billionaires, your multi-millionaires and your people making a real, real difference in society. So Eugene, just kind of give me your viewpoint on snowflakes in terms of success and being successful in the workplace. What do you feel?
Well, firstly, like, just we're not talking practicality. I guess Simon's already said it, but like, I actually really, really love snow, and I wish we got snow here in South Africa. So in that sense, I love snow. But I think with snowflakes, I identified as this sense of entitlement and the victim mentality that's like starting to take over. And I have problems with it for like two reasons, because it causes a lack of inhibition, and also everyone is infinitely disadvantaged. So there's no real way to say that, well, because of my situation, I deserve more than you. But I have a different take on how we deal with people who are disenfranchised by society. But I guess you have a whole idea behind this, Simon, so you can elaborate a bit more on that.
Yeah, so basically, put it this way, I see it as the more disadvantaged you are at birth, then the more successful you can actually become, because you have so much motivation riding behind you. Like, I've actually often looked at myself and been like, geez, sometimes I kind of wish like I had a little bit more hardship in my childhood in terms of like money and that sort of thing, because I feel like I could have derived so much more motivation from it. Like, I had to find my motivation from other places and find different places to get my motivation from. Like, Eugene, like, I've spoken to you like a little bit about it. In my past, I was bullied a lot. Even when I first arrived at high school, I was being bullied and that sort of thing. And I just had a lot of haters. And I often tell people that my dad was actually like my first and my biggest hater, because whenever like I would do something good or whatever and start feeling good about myself, he would like cut me down to size and he would like humble me and that sort of thing. And that's actually where I get a lot of my motivation to be hyper successful in life from. And it's from the haters. Like, no matter, like, if you want me to do something, tell me I can't do it. Like, if you want to see me accomplish something, tell me that I can't do it, and I will literally work my ass off just to make sure that I achieve it. So that sort of thing, that kind of mentality, I feel is lost in a lot of what society is today. Because like you said, lots of people have like this victimhood complex. They're like, oh, I'm disadvantaged, so I'm entitled to you just giving me what I want. I don't need to work for it. Sorry, that's not how the world works. Life is hard. Life isn't easy. Life isn't meant to be there for you to stroll through it. Like, if you want to be the person who works 9 to 5 and gets their salary and can Netflix and chill with their girlfriend, but will never really move past that phase in your life, then sure, go ahead and do it. But life is not there for the journey. Like, that whole idea of it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. I completely disagree. It is about the destination. It's just as soon as you arrive, you need to start looking for your next destination and constantly work towards getting to those new destinations every single time.
Yeah, I understand what you say by that. And it does make a lot of sense. But like, personally, I also get that feeling like you get really motivated by that sense of disbelief, that idea that well, these people think I can't do it, so I'm going to prove them wrong. But too much of that is also damaging. Like, always having this negative reinforcement can also do you a lot of harm. Like, always getting shot down, always having ideas put down, and people are basically riding on your failures can also hurt you a lot. But I can see how you can turn it into something positive. But yeah, it is an interesting one, because the idea of like the victimhood mentality is sort of like, I've been disadvantaged by the system, or the system is making life harder for me, and therefore I deserve more privileges because of it. So I have a feel of entitlement because of the situation you're running. But there is validity to it, I guess, in a sense that the system creates people. Like, we've sort of come to the conclusion that any system that has values, like whenever you value something, you have people who aren't going to be good at the specific value. So if you aren't good in terms of finances, you won't be a very good accountant. So regardless of where you go, you'll have people who are put low on the tier list of something that we value. So we know it's beneficial to have these hierarchies of power, but we do understand that because these hierarchies aren't always perfect and they always create someone who is at the bottom, it is kind of our job as society, as the greater whole, to accept that we are creating people who are at the bottom because of the system.
Like, one of the things that I kind of get from that is, you don't need to be good at finances, for example, to be like a really successful person. You just need to find then someone that will handle that part of yourself that you are not very good at for you. And you need to make sure that that person is good at it. So the way I can kind of put it is, you should surround yourself with people that cover up for your weaknesses, just like any kind of team sport. Like, that's something I've learned from playing basketball, for example. There are certain things that I'm not good at on a basketball court, but there are other things that I am good at. So I like to kind of just communicate to my teammates, okay, please cover up for me in this area, because I'm not going to be able to be as good as you guys there, but I'll make up for it here. That kind of mentality when it comes to business, when it comes to life in general, is something that's very, very important. And like, I think I told you about this earlier. I came across this guy called Dave Penner. He's a $50 billion man, and he's like a life coach, motivational speaker kind of guy. He's a savage, total savage. Like, he just says whatever the hell's on his mind. He swears all the time. And he just kind of, he's like the type of person that will walk up to someone and be like, you're useless. Like, you're not doing anything for yourself, and I'm not going to baby you to make you think that you're going to be successful. Like, you're just useless at the moment. Make yourself better. He's that kind of person. I actually like that kind of person in terms of motivation. That's not
for everyone. Yeah, we won't lie. Like, we all know you have like zero filter whatsoever.
Yes,
like, you speak your mind.
No, but like, exactly. And lots of people don't understand that about me. Like, I have lots of friends that will come up to me and they'll be like, dude, like, you need to chill. Like, people aren't going to like you if you keep doing this. And to be honest, over time, I've kind of learned that love is cool, but I'll settle for respect. I don't need you to love me. I just need you to respect the fact that I am who I am, and that I'm good at what I do, and that I'm going to be successful no matter what you say or what you do. So love is cool and everything, but I'll settle for respect. Thanks. Like, that's just the kind of mentality that I have. But yeah, this guy, Dave Penner,
you are definitely an acquired taste, my friend.
Yeah, I'm definitely an acquired.
We've all grown to love you with time.
Yeah, no, but that's true. I'm definitely an acquired taste, and I admit to that. I concede to that, I suppose you can say. But no, I know that I'm a quiet taste, and I own it. Like, I'm not the type of person that will try and tell you, oh no, I'm actually a lot nicer than you think. Like, if you just get to know me better, like, you'll see, no, I'm actually a really nice guy. I'm not always a nice guy. Sometimes I'm an asshole, and that's just how I am. But this guy, Dave Penner, he has like this catchphrase. So we know, like, you and I watch a lot of conservative speakers, guys like Ben Shapiro. Their catchphrase is, facts don't care about your feelings, for example. This guy's catchphrase is, show me your friends and I'm going to show you your future. So basically he's saying, if you don't, like, if you hang out with people that are going absolutely nowhere, then you're not going to go anywhere either. That's just how it is. Like, you need to surround yourself with people that are going to help you be successful and help you be a high intensity person, someone that's constantly pursuing their goals and that sort of thing. So I don't know, like, what kind of are your thoughts? I know you haven't really done much, like, watching of Dave Penner's stuff. I've just crammed like probably 3 hours of like video of him in like the last 2 days. But like, please tell me, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I had no clue who this guy was until you actually told me about him, which is bad on my part. But I see the value in it, because like, it's very true. Like, your friends and your social group is a reflection of who you are. So maybe less of like, it kind of sounds manipulative to say like they should be pushing you and you should be getting more out of them, but less that, but more just common values and interests you have. Like if you think what circles you're surrounding yourself with, if you feel it's sometimes, if you look like, I think it was, it's Nipsey Hussle who said, yeah, if you look around, if you look at your friends around you and you don't feel inspired, it's not, it's a cage. So you don't, I'm probably butchering the quote very badly, but it's very true. Like if you don't feel inspired to be better and do more by the people around you, you are ultimately limiting yourself. Like you are sticking to this level because this is where you're comfortable and this is where you associate. Mm. You don't strive for more. You don't have people pushing you for greater.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And the thing that I kind of want to build on basically that analysis that I've kind of brought in that topic is like getting it back to like the whole snowflake generation thing. Dave Penner is like really, really vocal about the snowflake generation. He absolutely hates it. Like he wants to, I think he titled one of his speeches is make the world alpha again. Like you, like a lot of what the snowflake generation stands for is kind of like this old mentality of you should be okay with like sitting back and being a nice person and just kind of like getting along with everybody. He completely disagrees with that. He says you don't need to necessarily dominate other people and you don't necessarily need to hate other people and disenfranchise people to be successful, but you can't always just sit back and be agreeable and like have people like walk over you and that sort of thing. You need to bring your alpha mentality out and that sort of thing. And when two alphas clash, it's not necessarily that one needs to win. It's just you're going to find a better compromise that works for each person that way. And how that kind of comes into it is he like lists like your hyper successful people that we see in society. People like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, who's someone else that's like really, really rich, Warren Buffett. Like he lists all
Elon
these
Musk, people like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Elon Musk. Who's the head of Amazon again?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos, all these people. So he says, look at what these people have in common. Like properly, look at what they have in common. So they're all ball busters. They all work really, really hard. They're really intense people. Like if you've watched Steve Jobs's like bio picture, I think that's what you call it, like his biography made into film, like his life movie. Like that guy was an ass like to a lot of people, but he got the best out of people and he got them to work towards what is one of the biggest and most famous and most widely renowned companies in the world. But
I've got a question for you because obviously like I'm also like you have a lot of people who are hyper ambitious and want a lot of things like this, but is it okay to settle for less? That's the thing, like what makes you happy? Should you not strive for that? Because a lot of these hyper successful people still remain really unhappy afterwards.
Yeah. So let me put it this way. Like, you can settle for less. If that makes you happy, that makes you happy. I'm not going to tell you to go for more. And I'm not going to try and tell you what makes you happy. But I know, like, for example, with myself, when I was little, like I always looked at it as I want to make a hell of a lot of money. Because I want to be someone that is remembered as having been super successful and not just be remembered for my success, but be remembered for what I do with my success. So a lot of the snowflake generation, like I mentioned it in my little thing at the beginning where I was basically describing them, they're like people that will stand up for social issues that they have nothing to do with in the first place. Now, lots of these people think that they can change the world just by like walking around and protesting. I completely disagree. Money makes the world go round. You cannot make any kind of substantial difference anymore in the world today if you don't have money. I want to go out, I want to make a hell of a lot of money, and then I want to use that money to benefit the world positively and improve people's lives who otherwise would not be able to do it for themselves. That's the kind of life that I want to lead. And if I'm going to do that, I need to be a hyper successful person and I need to look at the things that help to make hyper-successful people, hyper-successful. One of the things that Dave Penner actually brought up in his speech that I had no idea, like, was actually a statistic that people kept track of and was actually kind of cool to think about. Did you know that, like, 2/3 of the top CEOs and rich people in the United States all have one thing in common, a military background? And that actually makes a lot of sense to me now that I think about it. Because what does the military teach you? It teaches you things like discipline. It teaches you how to remain focused. It teaches you how to put your goals in place and then achieve those goals, and to not accept your body telling you you can't do it, or your heart like giving up on you, or you losing interest.
Like, it's an interesting one. But of successful people, I don't know, like the top end, it seems pretty scarce of people with military backgrounds though. Like the top, like top 0.1%, the billionaires, like there are very few. Are there, I might be ignorant to it, but like the names that come to mind, very, I don't know of anyone really who's in that top like bracket of billionaire who's actually a military leader or like who was in the military.
I think it would actually surprise you a lot of what like you, because obviously I'm not talking about like, yeah, you went to war or anything like that. Like you can literally, like my dad, for example, was in the military when he was young. Like he went and did his 2 years and like did his, like back then it was a mandatory thing that you had to do. Like you had to.
Yeah, we had conscription in South Africa. I remember. Yeah, yeah. I know about it. Like
yeah,
majority of
2 years, basically. So not all of them have the history of having gone like to, for example, the Vietnam War or the Afghan War or any of that. It's just they've gone and they've done the training. So they went through the rigorous like 1 year program and all that kind of stuff. And
that I see the value in discipline though. I can understand like the value in the discipline and regimen, like setting up a routine and sticking to it, that it could be very useful. But I think that's also a question, like what is success to you? Because a lot of people have a lot of different versions of success. So like the classic one is like, I want to make a lot of money, but you really do have to analyze what will make you happy. Like, I think as you, like, if you look at the scale, right, money has, it has like from having very little to an X amount, it has a drastic increase. But once you get to a certain point, the amount of joy you actually get from earning more money is very little. Like it's very small in terms of payoff that you get. Because obviously if you're living in an environment where you can't afford it, like electricity, water, basic food, like stuff like that, yes, then getting more money is definitely something that will exponentially increase how happy you are. But once you get to around like middle class, like once you start living a comfortable life, having more and more money really doesn't make that much of a difference in your life. Like the happiness that you gain from going on a holiday to the Bahamas versus going to Cape Town is very small in comparison of like how much more money you need to maintain that lifestyle. But I think your validation of what success is, and I think something you've also touched on, is it's very different for different people. So some people feel like you want to go into public service, you want to go into medicine, police, law, something that's going to touch people's lives and help them. Other people feel they want this uber successful environment. They want to leave a legacy of a company. Some people want politics. Other people care more about just raising and bringing up a really good family. Or some people feel they need to become a teacher. That's their calling. So I think it's important when you actually measure your values of success, because I think that's something you need to have. You need to have direction of where you want to head, or at least try and figure out what is going to bring you the most happiness. So don't get sucked into the trap of just, I need to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
But once you sort of figure that out, something that I think we agree on is the sense that you can't expect it to fall in your lap. Like all of this does take work, and there's no sense of just expecting it to happen for you. You need to go out and work for it. That's a very valid point. Some environments require a lot more hard work, like a lot more intense work than others. And that's part of like the trade-off you make. Like if you want to start one of these massive companies, you need to accept you are going to work 100-hour weeks for a long time, and it might not pay off. You might not become successful in that sense. But that's the fee of admission to come in. So you need to weigh up like, what level of effort are you willing to put in for what payoff? Like what's going to make you happy? Because there's no sense in killing yourself and working to death if you are content with just raising a really good family. That's not what's going to make you happy. Being this hyper successful person and spending all your time in the office isn't going to get you to your dream. Your dream of spending time with your kids, having a nice family, that's what's important to you. So it's also relative. You know, the whole mentality of we all need to live like these super successful CEOs, it doesn't work for everyone. You need a very specific type of person who feels happy and fulfilled working to that level.
No, 100%. And I completely agree with you. Like the biggest thing that one of the things that like Dave Penner is like really, and I really like this guy, like in the short time that I've been looking at his stuff, and I'm pretty sure you're picking up on it. But one of the things he also speaks about is these people that are hyperly successful, or not even hyperly successful, but like at least decently successful, you never find someone that doesn't have a really good self-esteem. And in fact, he says lots of these people like come off as cocky. So yeah, like, you know me, like I can be very cocky when it comes to a lot of things. Like even in the last few days where you and I and some of our friends have been playing, and you guys listening should definitely check it out. It's this game called StarCraft. It's like free to play and everything, so you don't need to pay for it. But it's a really cool game, and I've already become like super like invested in it, like to a certain extent. So like when we play together, Eugene will know, like I'm always saying like, yeah, no, I always have to save you guys, and like you guys are trash, like I just need to save you guys the whole time. It's like starting to make me mad, and that's just like my super like,
yeah, no, I would lie to you,
super competitive side is coming up.
When you were made in the character creation menu, your stats of narcissism were put on 100, my boy. Like, that's a fact.
Okay, no, exactly. It's 100% true. And one of the things that Dave Penner says is that resilience and stuff like self-esteem and all of that, it's supposedly, according to psychologists, built up in the first, like, 8 years of your life. So, unfortunately, if you're brought up in an environment where you don't formulate any kind of resilience or self-esteem and that sort of thing, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to become successful. And that's an uncomfortable truth that people are going to have to come to terms with. And if you finally do manage to come to terms with the fact that you aren't a very naturally resilient and self-esteem orientated person, you need to surround yourself once again with people that are going to help cover up that weakness, that are constantly going to provide reinforcement, like positive like comments that will help you be successful. That sort of thing is very, very important. And
you've seen more about this, like, and I can understand how, like, in your formation years, how these things like get instilled into your character. Mm. But isn't there also like, isn't there a way forward? You can work on your resilience. Like, that's something you can actively work to improve.
Like, you can do like one of my favorite like movie montages type of thing is actually in Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins. Like, Bruce Wayne at first is like this, like he's a pop, like he's whack, like he's weak. He looks like he's a tough guy, but he's not really a tough guy. But then he puts himself through hell, like for literally like, I think it's like 3 or 4 years. Like, he puts himself through hell and comes out a stronger person as a result. So you can do it with a lot of effort. And if you're willing to make that effort, then make the effort. But
yeah, I'm not sure what it's called, right? But it's basically, It's a type of psychological technique for overcoming certain fears or issues that you have. And basically the principle is that we expose you to it in like a controlled environment so that gradually you build up resistance to this. So like people who have a fear of like public speaking, like when they have, it's the principle of like in private, like just with your psychologist, they have you prepare public speeches or like a montage to explain to them on that level, and slowly incrementally you build up the level of exposure with more and more people and more environments till a point where you become desensitized. Because I'm a strong believer in the principle of increments and consistency. Like, you can really achieve a lot of things by making a small on a consistent basis progressing forward. It's crazy like what people are able to do by cumulatively doing stuff like that. Like, there are stories of people planting entire forests over a 30-year period by planting like one tree a day. It's crazy what you can do if you work up like a cumulative effect.
Exactly, no, 100%. Like one of the things that, I kind of think it speaks to like what you're saying. One of the things that Dave Penner is like kind of what's the word for it? Like he's coined it, I think you could say, in a sense, is this whole practice that he does. So he says, write down your goals, lifetime or life goals, business goals, all those goals. Write down short-term goals, medium-term goals, long-term goals, and lifetime goals, right? So write down your goals. Then make a separate list. Take record from, I think it's Sunday night to Saturday night the next week. Make a list of all the people that you meet with, that you associate with, that you spend time with, that you talk to. Once you've made that list, go back to your goals, give a number to each of your goals, and then write the number of that goal which is associated with the person that you met with. So if that person helps you to achieve that goal, write that number next to them. And he says you will be astounded by how little the people that you are associating yourself with are actually helping you to achieve your goals. And that's a really important thing, because I think it kind of speaks to your whole incremental like system, like the whole idea of doing it by increments. If you steadily begin to associate yourself or reach out to people that are making money or that are doing really well in a field that you are very interested in and something that you want to achieve, then incrementally you're going to build up your ability to create a network, to create a social area where you are able to ask for help, to run ideas past people, to kind of build up your brand at the same time, and just to get your name out there. Because there's actually a really wise thing that one of my friends has said. His name is Tisetso Leoping. Now, Tisetso knows for a fact that he's not the brightest person in the entire world. He knows he's not like a top 10 academic, but he understands how to make money. He understands how to hustle. He understands how to grind for something. And he understands that the most important thing in business is connections. You need to be well connected. You need to have
people
and talk to that can basically help you get into a certain market. Because let's be honest, I don't believe in a degree. Like, you need a degree in certain instances to do certain jobs. But if you have a skill that allows other people to make money with you, which also allows you to make money, then it's not going to matter whether or not you have a degree. People will find a way for you to help them make money in a capitalist society. So if you have a skill that is desirable and something that you can work really hard at to make other people money and make yourself money, then the degree isn't necessarily what makes you successful. It's you that still makes you successful. The degree is just a stepping stone. So I don't like the whole idea as well of, like, just on a tangent, like lots of people will say, yeah, no, but doctors are saying this, or no, this lawyer says this, or no, because he's got a degree, he's smart. Cool dust. It's not true. Dumb people get degrees all the time.
See, there's an interesting one, because, like, I know you were talking about, but have you heard of like the 30-30 rule?
No.
So the principle of works like this, right? So how you should assert, like, the people you should spend time with. So it says like 33% of the people you should spend time with should be people who are higher up to you, like mentors, people who motivate you to be better and to do more. So, like, in relative terms, this could be in a business environment, like your mentor, a teacher, someone who's helping you with a specific skill. Then another 33% of your time you should spend with people who are less skilled than you are in certain environments, where you act as the mentor yourself, where you're passing on some of your knowledge. And then they say the other 33% should be with your peers. So people who you can relate with, who you're working with. And this is a way you also have your social interaction. Because I also think, yes, it's good to be very goal-driven and try and set up your life in a way that is aiming towards your goals, but you also do need a level of social interaction. So I would say there is an important part of your peers who, just because you think, well, this guy's on the same level as me or not as good as I am, I shouldn't be spending time with them in my capacity. I think that's a very dangerous way to live your life, basing someone's self-worth on, like, do they purely add to this goal? Because you can have social interaction and good exchanges with people who are on the same level or lower than you are. But I do see the importance in having, like, mentors in your life, people who are helping you get where you want to get.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Dave Penner also speaks about that a lot. Like, he says his dad was his first, like, proper mentor. And then he has, like, five other mentors that he was really blessed to, like, find and that really helped him to become successful. So I think, just to kind of like end off the episode, I've done the first part of what Dave Penner said, like the structuring of goals. So maybe just for our listeners and that sort of thing, this can kind of give you an idea. So for those of you who don't know, I want to be an author, and possibly one day I want to move into being a TV personality. However, I am going to pursue a law degree, because law is also something that I feel particularly passionate about, and I think that I could be a pretty good lawyer. So that's something that I'm going to be pursuing. So I have my short-term goals, my medium-term goals, my long-term goals, and my lifetime goals. And I'm just going to run through them quickly. So for short-term goals, I've got write 4 to 5 chapters a week of the book that I'm working on. So it can be any given book. And this short-term goals applies at all times. So then also work out for 30 minutes, 3 times a week. So physical fitness, it's also very important. It's good for the brain. It's good for the mind. It's good for my body. It's just good for my life in general. Make sure that my significant like others, the people that are important in my life, are doing well, that I am keeping them happy, that I am also like giving as much time as I possibly can afford to them at all times when I can, regardless of whether or not I'm tired or fatigued or whatever. Then for my medium term goals, I have finish the book and edit it, and then also get in contact with publishers. So as soon as I finish a book, I go back through it, and now that I've written it, and I edit it, try to make it a little bit better and get in contact with publishers. Achieve an 85% average. I'm still in high school. I want to be able to have something to fall back on if I need to. I want to be able to get into the university of my choosing, do the degree that I want. So obviously an average is important. And I also want to plan further novels, further books. My long-term goals are to get published and to pursue a film deal, because I understand that the world works in a very weird way, in my opinion, because I'm still one of the few people in the world that prefer books to movies and film and TV series.
Really?
I know that that's where money is. So I need to pursue a film deal and try to transform my stories into film if I can, and maybe break into that industry, maybe as a producer. I want to start a brand, and I also want to make my first million before I turn 22. My lifetime goals are to make $1 billion somehow, some way, to provide for my family, and then to make an impact on the world that is credible and that is actually valid. So it's not just like I improve one person's life. I want to improve a multitude of people's lives, and I want to be someone that goes down in history as having tried my best to improve the world. So those are my goals. For the listeners at home, I hope that this kind of gives you an idea of something that you could be looking at.
Yeah, so we've basically heard what you've planned or how you've implemented it. And I guess we'll be giving you the scaffolding for this guy's work. I'm going to personally listen to it as well. And then we'll post it on, or at least a link to one of his videos, which is a bit more compact, if you are curious and want to go into more detail, on our Instagram page at NoMansLand.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing everyone who's actually listening to this probably knows the Instagram page, because the link for it is on there. So
yeah,
that'll be available and coming up soon after we release this episode.
Exactly. So thank you all for bearing with us and for listening. It is now 1:20 on Thursday, the 30th of April. We're so sorry for skipping a week and not doing an episode last week, but we felt we needed to take the break just to kind of like get our thoughts together and kind of see like what we were trying to go for and that sort of thing. But I think this episode was fantastic. I really enjoyed making it, and I really hope to see our numbers climb. And we ask that you please just share this with anybody that you think it might be beneficial to. So thank you everybody for listening. Eugene, if you have any like few last words, maybe just a goodbye. Yeah. I don't know.
So we made this episode a bit more compact, but trust me, myself and Simon's heads are still filled with lots of ideas, and we are going to be pumping out a bit more content in the weeks to come. But on that note, it is around lunchtime. I'm getting really hungry, and I'm not sure if it's just because I'm bored and stuck in the house, but I think it's time to go make food. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Right now, I'm in Thailand, quarantined, it's a foreign scene. Can't go to the airport and leave, and I thought my whole life was boring. Jeez, excuse me. I'm about to bang my forehead on the floor and scream. The dude I'm staying with's annoying. How much fucking torture can boredom be? Take my ass to the morgue in peace. Look, bitch, it's 2020, I was preparing some new bombs and making sure that my competition gon' put a noose on. My aggression ain't really a subtle nuance. I've been in the game 10 years, how can I do wrong? Who's on one? I'm on a savage as usual. I'm back in the booth, I had rappers to poop on. Now there just ain't many brands I can move on, all because someone ate bad soup in Wuhan. Well, shit, that's what I heard. I don't know what it was mixed with, but for someone to jeopardize everyone's life, man, it must have been fucking delicious.
For real.
This shit is fucking ridiculous. Can't be with my son or my siblings. The government tripping. My pussy appointments with dozens of bitches are canceled. Now guess what I'm tugging my dick with? What?
My right hand.
Oh, when I get a tingle inside of my penis, I'm like,
hi, my friend. Hi.
And you know the lotion is sitting on
my nightstand.
And when I finish my business, I go to
Night Land.
And now I gotta take a weapon, getting groceries. Yeah. Hopefully, motherfuckers know to back away 40 feet. Don't be jokingly mingling if you happen to notice me.
No, I ain't fucking with none of you niggas till the Rona leave.
Ugh, get back, move back, step back. Y'all better not touch me. Hey, get back,
come on,
move back, step back. Y'all better not touch me.
I
done been told y'all niggas back up.
Move.
You don't wanna see me call back up.
No,
so get back, move back, step back. Y'all better not touch me.
We all at home, we camping out. I noticed everybody made a TikTok, oh, we dancing now. And I see about 400-500-600 new hoes made an OnlyFans account.
Get your money, girl, better get your dope.
Yeah, blast them titties one time.
This
this ain't funny, girl. You finna be broke.
You don't wanna be a broke bitch.
Somebody told me it was the 5G towers and everybody's immunity spiraling downward. And if it's true, fight the power. The time is now. I gotta divide the crowd from the mindless cowards. I know y'all love when I recite some foul words, especially during the COVID-19 outburst. And I got nothing better to do. Evidence proof. I'll be spending hours live on IG wowzers.
Wait, hold up. Wait, that's strange. I sent a text. Why you ignoring me?
Me?
I know you got time to reply, bitch. Don't even lie, cause you in the quarantine. Huh.
Yeah, I know how you do. You with your boo. You treating my feelings so morbidly after this song drop. Bitch, I'm blocking you. Don't be surprised when you text it. It's going green. How do we deal with a worldwide corruption? I don't know if the media's hyping up shit. Look at the situation our life is stuck in. I got no toilet paper to wipe my butt with. Whoever did this is on hops and shit. This God forbid the world gets apocalyptic. Will it end soon? Look at all the odds against it. So don't touch me without my permission.
Get back.
Move back.